Set.
Thank you, audiovisual person. Audio-video person, a person of audio-video means. Okay. When we're reading liner notes of a record, for example, guess what? We're not listening to the music. Or if we are, our attention is split and we're not really present. Okay? And what are we doing in our lives? Are we lining up with our purpose of being here? Or if we have even an external goal, are we lined up with that goal? Or what are we doing? Are we living in fear of reaching the goal? Are we living in fear of not reaching the goal? Are we evaluating and judging how people and situations should be, et cetera, et cetera? You know, it's like the recent storm we had. Well, let's sit there and let's judge whether or not this should have happened. Okay? Let's judge whether all those homes that went up in flames should have gone up in flames. And let's really sit there and try to get at the whole physics of fire caused by water. Okay? Or what we can even have a field day doing is we could test the density of all the stuff that got soaked. And we could do any comparisons between before and after, weight, humidity, etc. We could have a field day with it, okay? But that's all like reading the liner notes. Or we can get in there and do what needs to be done. Clean out the mess, dry up the mess, demolish, rebuild, etc. Because that's really what needs to be done. Okay? And, you know, the neat thing is, I heard so many people say, you know, I took my stuff up to the second floor, or I brought it up from the basement, etc., and it all got ruined anyway. Yeah. Okay? So this brings us to something really important. The first law of spirit is what? Acceptance. Okay? Acceptance. Okay? And many of us in our lives, what are we busy doing? We're busy judging. This shouldn't have happened. It shouldn't have been this way, etc. Okay? But you know, if you're in a car accident, you take care of everything involving the accident. Anyone hurt, injured, yourself, you get the information you need, you get the cars fixed, etc., then you settle the claim, whatever has to be done, okay? You don't sit there in judgment or in thinking about, oh, if only I had done this and done that and done this, this wouldn't have happened. See, and that's a great trick that we all have, because that's like saying, this shouldn't have happened. See, I could have changed the karma. So this is, you know, karmically correct. It's just random. It just happened, you know? But I've never seen an accident that was an accident. Okay? So there's method and madness in things, and yet we, that's right, I said method and madness in things. Okay, and the madness is that it's beyond what we call our mind. We're so fond of the mind. Okay, so for example, if you're involved in, let's say, a project, and you can't quite understand and grasp how it might happen, okay, if you do X, Y, and Z, but yet if you've been involved with the teachings that I bring forth, and you know the teachings have to do with grace. It's a way of grace, okay, and the action of grace, okay, and your mind will not be able to comprehend how that works. And yet I've seen so many of you dismiss the actions that are needed, or following the instructions, following the spiritual instruction, because that positions you to receive grace. So you receive grace. Okay, yeah, but hold on. Nobody's going to give the money for this. Nobody's going to do that. If I go here and there, I'm going to need a car, and I don't have a car, so I'm not going to go. Whatever it is, okay, and we shortchange ourselves. We're busy reading the liner notes, as it were, and we're not participating, okay? You know, kind of reminds me of one of the Ivy League schools for some reason decided to have a really great wrestling program. So they actually did develop a very, very good program, and they were recruiting a kid to come wrestle for them. And this kid was from Japan, and he went up to this school, which is located in a rather cold part of the Northeast, and saw snow for the first time in his life. He'd never seen snow. He was 17, 18 years old, had never seen it, didn't know what snow was. Okay, and the school was so afraid that this kid would not come and wrestle for them that they told them that this was a certain tree shedding its leaves, and that because of the area that the school was in, they had an abundance of these kinds of trees, so that all this stuff was like falling, and it would get caught in the wind, etc., etc. Okay, hoping the kid would fall for this because he didn't know what snow is. Okay, and in a way, that's kind of what we do in our own consciousness and within our own consciousness. We play all sorts of tricks, okay? We deny that we are a spirit. We deny what's true. We literally shrug it off. We shrug things off, what we know to be true. And we disrespect ourselves to the point of avoiding the truth, not being within our integrity, etc. And I'm going to be giving a talk on health, and health is intimately bound up on and with being in your integrity. Because anything that isn't is called karma, and that's going to manifest physically, and it's going to be dis-ease. You're not going to be at ease, okay? And you're going to have a physical manifestation of that, okay? But we know that in consciousness, what happens? We have these thoughts, we have these feelings, and unless the soul has been initiated, it's into the sound current or into the Holy Spirit, it's asleep, okay? And so it literally doesn't know if it's dead or alive, has no clue. So these thoughts get projected into what's called the cosmic mirror. So you look in the cosmic mirror, and you see these thoughts and these feelings, and just like when you look in a regular mirror, physical mirror, you believe what you see. And your consciousness has forgotten that you're the creator of these feelings and these thoughts. So it takes its creations as objective reality and lives out its own projections. Okay? Now that's called craziness. Okay? But because almost all souls, all consciousness does this and operates that way, it passes for normal. And the way the consciousness is set up, we don't get that that's our creation. We don't get that we're powerful. We don't get that we're created. So, for example, if I think, oh, God, he's really a patriarchal, mean son of a gun, okay, then, yeah, it goes right into the mirror as God is a tough son of a gun. Okay? And then I look at it as an objective reality. Of course, it's my thought about God. It's like the liner notes. It's about the music. It's not the music itself. And we have this confusion, you know? And so many of us also throw out God and spirit because we confuse thoughts about God, aka religion, with God. Okay? They're not at all the same. Just like the pebble at the bottom of the brook is not in the same place that it appears to be when I look at it from the surface. Okay, it's all this reflection. Okay, and of course it's reflected, and we know things unless the soul has been initiated and has a clear spot into spirit. We know things by reflection. In other words, everything is distorted. Okay, it's like the Heisenberg principle. The mere fact that we're involved watching something distorts the whole experience. Okay, so that's one of the things that happens when we're not lined up. Okay, what we're doing is we're reading the liner notes about the experience or about what we know to be true, and we're rationalizing things, and we're rationalizing things away from the truth. Okay, so for example, okay, if I know that, oh, I'm not supposed to eat something, okay, all right, and I go to someone's home and they're going to serve me a nice meal, and because I want them to think I'm a nice person or I want to seem like I'm deeply appreciative, I won't mention that I'm not supposed to eat something. So, of course, I'll eat it, and then lo and behold, I'll suffer the consequences. Okay? But what have I done? Okay? I've been dishonest. Okay? I've created, I've created karma. Okay? And the other thing that's really important is I didn't lift from my bondage of being attached to, oh, this person has to think I'm nice, or they have to think I'm a good host, or whatever. So I'm in bondage. Okay, and many times in relationships, you see this all the time. I call it whoring out. That we play whore. We prostitute ourselves to our own fear. Oh, if I say something to my spouse or to my boyfriend or to my girlfriend or to my lover, they're going to get upset. Okay? So you're busy trying to control them. And you're outside yourself. And you've given your power over. So as soon as you've given your power over, guess what? You're at the mercy of that which you've given your power over to. Okay? And you perpetuate that. So if I'm afraid that my spouse is going to get angry at me, and if she gets angry at me, oh, let's say she won't cook for me, and if she doesn't cook for me, I'll starve to death. Okay? So I allow that blackmail to go on. But it has nothing to do with my spouse. It has to do with me, okay? And I perpetuate that fear, okay? So I'm never experiencing the thing itself, okay? When it comes to God, we do this all the time. We've so many excuses to down-vibrate, to get away from the truth, to not acknowledge that we are spirit and we are responsible. And we know that responsible means the ability to respond to the spirit that we are. Okay? And so we could look at it and play the game of, oh, he's never seen snow before, so let's tell him that snow is leaves from a certain species of tree, and it litters the ground at this time of year. Okay? Oh, okay, well, you see, this fear, because if I do X, Y, and Z, then this is going to happen. Well, that's a good enough reason. Or last time I was in my integrity, I got slammed for it, or people didn't appreciate it, or recently I was buying some apples, and they were different kinds of apples, and I think, you know, a couple of the apples were part of the kind that was, let's say, selling for arbitrarily $3.50 a pound, and another group was selling for $1.95 a pound. So I said to the cashier, you know, these are different apples and they sell for this amount, and this group over here sells for that amount, you know? And she gave me some like nasty response. And I thought, whoa, mamacita, you know? Why is she so angry? You know, so I thought, all right, I'll give it time, you know, and it'll reveal itself. Okay, so she finishes ringing up the other items, and then as she's packing them up, and she's about to pack up the apples, she says, you know, if you hadn't have told me, I would have rung it up at the lower price, and you could have had all of them for the lower price. You know, and I said, well, I appreciate that, but actually that wouldn't have done me any good and wouldn't have done you any good. Okay? And in my own way and in a way I thought she would understand, I helped her understand it's important to be in integrity. Okay? All right, so I could take my experience now, because remember, I got talked to very harshly for no reason at all on my part, for simply being honest. So guess what? I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to be honest. Why should I be honest? You know, look what happens. Look how upset people get, you know? People give me too much change back. I'm not going to tell them. I mean, I don't know if I've caught more grief for telling people they've charged me too much or they've charged me too little. But either way, you can get a hard time with it, you know? And doesn't much matter, okay? The outer response doesn't much matter. What matters is I have to stay within my integrity and what I know to be so, okay? Right? Or another example is, let's just say you're doing a class, okay? And you make an agreement, and you know the class meets X amount of times, and possibly there may be one or two or so follow-ups, okay? And let's just say you're having a difficult time with the class for some reason, you don't quite understand stuff, or you're not really paying attention, or however you're working the class is not really appropriate to the class. It's your version of the class. So you decide, oh, I've had it. You know, that's it. You know, I don't have to come anymore and do the class. Okay? But there was an agreement to do that course. And you were told how many classes they'd be, etc. There may be another one or two. And there was an agreement in black and white. Okay? And those of you who study with me know about what are called force fields, that there is a force field, an extension of the Lord God into that which you have agreed upon, and that's how you up-vibrate and lift, okay? And I'm always amazed at how many people will sign their name to something and it means nothing. They don't get the level of commitment. You see, now it's not that they're bad people or terrible people. It's that they need that education because the false self is so used to making it okay, not to follow through, not to honor their commitment, etc. Okay? And yet, man alive, if someone promised to give them $20 and didn't give it to them, they'd be all over the place, all over that person, all over, you know, they'd be calling me or saying, Dr. Lane, can I speak to you? This person owes me $20, he didn't give me. He's such a liar. Okay, but that's only money. And that's what we do inside ourselves. We lie to ourselves. We're not honest. Okay, we make things okay. And that distorts the experience. Okay? Now, if I were to tell you, okay, let's meet at night. I want to show you the sun. You'd think I was kind of looped, okay? But we meet at night, and I show you the moon, and I call it the sun. And yet we do that an awful lot of times. We convince ourselves of things that don't really make any sense, okay? What are we hiding? What are we protecting? Our fear. Fear of God. We know the journey of the soul is fear of God to love of God. Okay, with the false self comes lack and limitation. Okay, and a confusion about what is the source. So, for example, if you buy the notion that, okay, the moon is, because it has light, you can see it. It's giving off its light. Instead of it's reflecting the light of the sun, okay? We forget that and we take the moon as the sun. And guess what we're doing? We think it's the source, okay? And we think many times that we're the source. And that the fear we have, etc., we must honor instead of that we have dominion over that. We're in charge. We have the power of choice. It's the most spectacular power there is. There's choice. We have choice. Okay? Now, the other day we got all involved, and probably for much before, with the choice of president. Okay? Who's running the country? Okay? But each moment you have a choice within yourself of who's running the show. The false self with its fear, with its deceit, with its lack, with its limitation, or the spirit within. See? We have that choice. There's no outside agency that's overtaking us. We have choice, okay? And if we're honest, we will see that we tend to circle round, take a few steps forward, several back, delay, dim our walk towards the center of our being, which of course is spirit. Okay? See, the interesting thing is that so many of us are afraid of giving over to spirit, surrendering. We think it's something outside of us, when actually we're just surrendering to ourselves. And because we're so afraid of doing this, we worship what's called false idols. We worship this. We worship the fear. We worship the hurt. We worship the pain. We make it God. We let it drive us, as it were. Okay? And if we're being driven, that's a great sign that we've chosen into karma. Okay? Because karma is what pushes us down and out, as it were, into the world. And as a soul, it pushes us down and out into the world, and that's called reincarnation. Okay? So we know the antidote. God, in his grace and in his kindness and in his mercy, he's given us the antidote. Okay? And the antidote is initiation into the sound current, where we go in and up, as it were. Not directionally. We go inside ourselves into the soul body, into the spirit, okay, that's within us. Okay? And we're practicing true identity. And as we go through this life, we need to practice that. We need to practice true identity. If we identify with our body and don't understand that, hey, you know, it's the temporary housing for the soul. You know, which to me is one of the great opportunities of, quote, the catastrophe, end quote, when people lose their home. And I've seen this happen, you know. I've seen people come to the realization of, oh, yeah, it was our home, and we lived there, and we raised our kids there, et cetera, et cetera. But it was just a physical thing. And you see them giving up that whole identification with something of this world. And it's quite powerful, and they get free. I'm not suggesting that's the way that it has to happen. No, but in some cases it does happen, okay? Other people, they just grab on more and more and have more of an attachment. Okay, and that's fine. They'll get their learning. There's no problem with that, okay? But what we do many times is we grab onto our hurt and our fear and our pain. And that's what we do. We have hurt, we have fear, we have pain, we have lack, we have limitation, we have a drivenness, we have an insistence, etc. And we never get to have the thing itself, okay? But if we listen to the music, and those of you who understand what I'm saying when I say music, you know that I'm talking about the divine melodies within us, in the soul body. And where the consciousness is set up is that we have we live on different levels in the inner worlds within us. And each of these levels has a frequency and has a sound. And this, when you go into the soul body, the soul knows where it is. It recognizes where it is by the sound of the realm on which it is. And it locates itself. Okay? But that's an action of spirit. That's an action of the soul that's within us. Okay? And it comes from proper identification, doing your spiritual work and your spiritual practice exactly as taught. Okay? All right. So, it's very much like if you were to blindfold yourself, okay, and then go and feel an elephant, and then remove the blindfold. You'd probably get a very different sense of what an elephant is. Okay? When we read the liner notes, we're getting a reflection upon the music inside. Okay, when we enter into fear, lack, negativity, we're not permitting ourselves to be at the positive pole. We're not permitting ourselves to have direct experience. See? And that's the direct experience of going in the soul body and being with God. Because that's how you can be with God, by being in the soul body. You're not going to do it in the physical body. You're not going to do it with your mind or your emotions. But you are going to do it with the soul body. And in the soul body and as a soul. Okay, and the purpose of human life was and still is to give us that opportunity. But if we enter into reading the liner notes, if we enter into thinking that the pebble is over here because we're looking at it from the top of the water instead of at the bottom, and there are all these illusionary factors, we don't know what's so. If we identify with our thoughts and our feelings, you know, I had an experience that I'm dealing with someone who's a master at this. The poor guy, he's fighting his way out of a paper bag. And he uses jets. He uses SWAT teams. You know, he uses like squadrons of trained goons, whatever he has to, okay, to fight and deal with his projections. See, because he doesn't know that that's what he's doing. He has no clue that he's projecting his thoughts or his fears into the world. And then he's dealing with them as if they were real. It's called being asleep. And he wastes an inordinate amount of energy. His whole life is bound up with that, totally enslaved. And in the process of becoming conscious, what we do is we learn to recall our projections or know that we're responsible, for them. Okay, and what we see in the mirror, it's not there by randomness, it's there because of our creation. And so we start to become very careful about what we create, where we place our focus, and where our energy goes. And that's really crucial. Okay? Yeah, God in his kindness, he gives us all the time we need to learn how this all works, called karma and reincarnation. He gives that system to us. Okay? but he's also in his out of his compassion makes sure that there's something here, some consciousness here, his consciousness here, to help souls get beyond the mirror and not get caught and trapped in this mirror. Okay? Because if you're trapped in the mirror, you're not listening to the divine melodies. You're not hearing the music. Okay? Just like, for those of you who've had a problem and you've entered into anger or fear or negativity, you can't get at the solution. But once you bring yourself present and align with the spirit, then the solutions come, and they come rapidly. Even if the solution is to do nothing, it comes rapidly. Okay, so it's all there. There's the answer. The answer is with the light. And I lovingly encourage you to listen to the music and not focus on the liner notes. Okay, so I want to conclude by doing a process. Okay, and that process is, I'm going to call in the light of the Most High, and I'm just going to ask you a question, maybe the same question over and over a few times, and whatever comes, comes. Okay, so Lord God, send us your light, and we put this time together into your light for the highest good. Okay, and just allow the answer to spontaneously come. What are you busy reading liner notes about? What do you need to give up the reading of the liner notes? And let yourself listen on whatever level it's available to you, the divine melody. And if it's not, it's not. That's okay too. And what happens when you just sit and listen inside yourself to the divine music? And we'll stop with that. Okay, give me 5 minutes and I'll come back and answer any questions you may have. Okay. All right. If anyone has a question out in phone land, I'll give it a shot. Easy night. Anyone here? Wow. Okay. Okay, I'll say I'll count to three. I know how to do that. And that'll be the end of the question and answer period. Okay, one, two, three. Whoop.
Hi. I have a question, Dr. Lane.
Mm-hmm.
Patterns imprinted in, are they imprinted in both the mind and in the soul? Or in the mind?
Okay, that's actually not a correct focus. You would be eliminating a lot of stuff. The way it's set up has to do with that. Yeah, we're responsible for every creation, whether we like it or not. So every thought, every feeling, etc., that we persist in, is recorded. Okay, in what's called the Akashic Records, et cetera, okay? And it goes with us as soul, all right? But remember the layout of consciousness? The soul lives on, in the negative worlds, it lives on several levels. Astral, causal, connected with feelings, the mental, the etheric, so like the great unconscious, the great void, and lives on all those levels. Okay, so it all depends where you create the karma. Is it astral? Is it causal? Is it mental? Is it etheric? Etc. Okay? And then also, we know that before birth, the soul meets with what's called the lords of karma and is assigned the karma for that particular lifetime, and that's fate karma. Okay? The exception being if the soul is to be initiated, it'll meet with the master soul or the master's soul, and the karma is assigned by the master, okay? But it's still fate karma, okay? And then, of course, you have all that other karma that's to be handled in future lifetimes called stored karma. Now, if the soul is initiated, it works differently, okay? So that it's not a question of either or. Okay, it's a question of where the karma is and what the assignment is for that particular lifetime. Okay, and then of course you have what's called day-to-day karma, the karma that you create in your daily living. Okay, and if you're fortunate and blessed, you'll get it back immediately. Many people call it instant karma. Otherwise, it'll get assigned for a future lifetime. And as was talked about, because we're asleep, we don't realize that we created it. So when it comes around in that particular lifetime as our fate karma, we've forgotten that we created it. Okay? See, that's the irony about people who are so afraid of being responsible. You're responsible anyway. You're at the effect of what you put in motion. You're responsible for what you created. Why not create along the positive polarity, with the spirit you are and in alignment with the spirit. Okay? But I have a question for you. How does your question dovetail with, are you reading the liner notes or are you listening to the music?
Something released that had to do with the, I think, the notes, which then allowed the movement of the music.
I'm sorry. Release
the opening for the music.
Release the note?
Meaning, no, not the note, just the sound. Let me restate it. Something happened in the process.
Okay.
That I was only able to see at that moment up until now that that was a pattern that had happened.
Okay.
And then I felt it released.
Okay, good. Okay. Well, grace is grace. Okay, you know, and I answered the question really out of respect to both the question and out of respect to the questioner. But really, the reason I don't teach karma and the teachings I'm involved with teach grace and being with the Lord God while we're in the body is because it's the difference between reading the liner notes and divine music. Okay, so even that kind of question is a focus away from the spirit that you are. See, because your experience was an action of grace to help move you into greater alignment. Okay, so the focus needs to be there, not anything else. See, and of course, in the evolution of a soul, we get to the point where all there is the focus on God. Okay, and I'm not talking about some crazy fundamentalist, hey, Jesus saves, hallelujah, and all that kind of stuff. I'm not talking about that at all. Okay, I'm talking about the inner being and the inner alignment. Okay, because any thought or feeling persisted in away from God is karma, and that's separation from the spirit that we are. Okay, but thank you for asking the question. Okay, anyone else?
And thank you for
sure
handling it the way you did.
Well,
beautifully.
Thanks for the good review. Okay. Yeah. Any other question? I'll count to three again. Boy, I'm getting practice. One. Two, three. Okay, good. I'm glad I know my numbers. Boy. Okay, so I'm going to say good night. Do you need to say about
Yes, if anybody would like to purchase a CD or MP3 of tonight's talk, please say so when Dr. Lane goes around saying Dr. Lane's goodbyes.
Okay. Good night, Howard in Connecticut. I'm glad you joined us.
Hey, Dr. Lane, it was a pleasure. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Much love and light.
Okay. Have a good evening and stay warm.
Yeah, thank you. You too. You too. And New Jersey, good night, Mr. Don. Much love and light, huh?
Much love and light to you. Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome. God bless you, kiddo. And good night, Ed. Much love and light, huh? I hold you in my heart. Yeah, stay warm, kiddo.
Will do. We do the same.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And good night, Mr. Andrew. Much love to you in New Jersey.
Thank you, doctor. I'll see you over the weekend.
Oh, are you in New Jersey?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay. Wrong Andrew. But, Andrew, I look forward to seeing you, Andrew of Pennsylvania fame. Okay,
Yes.
All right. Are you in Philly?
Yes.
Say hello to my old stomping grounds.
Will do.
Okay, much love and light. Look forward to seeing you, Andrew, huh?
Yes.
God bless you. Take excellent care of yourself, kiddo.
Thank you.
And Andrew of New Jersey, much love and light, huh? God bless you, kiddo.
Thanks, Dr. Lane. Much love and light to you.
Thank you. VZ, God bless you. I'm glad you came, huh?
Thank you, Dr. Lane.
Take excellent care of yourself. And good night, Gracie. Much love to you. Give your parents a hug from me.
Good night. We love you. Good night.
Thank you. Likewise. Much appreciated. And good night, Mexico. Estoy contento que tú estés con nosotros, Barry.
Gracias.
Okay. Vamos a encontrarnos, ¿no? Pronto. Bueno. Bueno, buen viaje.
Gracias.
Adios. Adios. And good night, Miss Tennessee. Much love and light to you, huh?
Night, Dr. Lane. I'd like a CD, please.
And have a very good trip in, Peggy, huh?
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. God bless you. And California. Sue Landis, I'm very glad you joined us.
Thank you. That was a great session. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. And thank you for your very loving service to us also.
You're welcome.
It's duly noted.
Thank you.
Okay. Have a good night. Drink some water, dear. Take a big swig of water on the house.
I will.
Okay. God bless you, dear.
Okay.
Bye. Bye-bye. And good night, Rebecca. Much love and light, huh? And have a beautiful meditation.
Thank you. What time do I call in for class? Is it quarter after?
Quarter after eight, yeah, quarter after five, right.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Much love. And bye-bye, dear. Bye-bye. And good night, Vicky. Much love and light to you, huh?
Lane, God bless you. Much love and light to you. I love the CD, and thank you for the healing and support and correction. I'm really appreciative. Thank you.
You have it. The way to appreciate it is just to love God. That's all I ask, kiddo.
Mm-hmm. That's easy. Thank you.
Okay. Good. Much love and light. And good night, Hawaii. Much love to you, Doster. Aloha, bye-bye, much love.
Aloha.
Aloha, and good night, Claire. I'm glad you joined us. Feel better, huh?
Thank you, Dr. Lane. Much love and light to you.
God, boy, you must have kissed a frog, huh?
Yeah, turned into one, too.
I know. Feel better, dear, huh?
I will. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. And good night, Anna. Much love and light to you, huh?
Thank you, Dr. Lane. Thank you for all the learning.
You're more than welcome. I assume I'll be speaking to you in person pretty soon.
You will.
Well, good. I look forward to it.
Thank you.
All right. Much love.
Love you.
Likewise, kiddo. And good night, Florida. Ed, I'm very glad you joined us.
Well, thank you, Dr. Lane. It was a good session.
Good. Thank you. Thank you. Much love and light, huh? I'll catch you soon, Ed. Take good care of yourself.
All right, thanks. Okay.
Did you say it was a good day?
I thought it was a good session.
Oh, okay. And Miss Amy, much love and light, huh?
Thank you.
God bless you. You have snow there, or did you send it our way? Okay. I bet you Josie's looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, much love to Josie. Tell her to give you a big hug from me.
Okay.
God bless you. I'm glad you joined us, Amy.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And good night, Miss Constance Jean Elizabeth Burnett Browning the 14th. Very glad you joined us. Yes, you can. We're debating whether we should let you have it, Connie.
I know.
much love to you, kiddo.
Thank you, Dr. Lane. I love you.
Likewise, kiddo. That's for sure. That's for sure. And Lisa, I'm very glad you joined us.
Thank you very much, and thank you for a wonderful talk.
Oh, my pleasure. Do you have snow up there yet? Okay. Well, listen, have a safe trip, huh? And I'll see you soon. I look forward to it, Lisa.
I look forward to seeing you again, too.
Yeah, much love and light. God bless you, Lisa.
Bless you, too.
Bye-bye, dear. Bye-bye. And I'm glad you came. Thank you. My pleasure. Nancy, much love and light. Glad you came. Gina, thank you for videoing. Much love and light. And Melissa, thank you, kiddo.
Thank you.
For all you did and writing.
Thank you. Do you drink water?
You know, it's interesting. Your friend's voice sounds almost like a song, so you can concentrate on how sweet it is when she talks and not really hear the words. You know, it's very easy to get.
You know, that's so interesting.
It's very easy to get into how mellifluous her and not really listen.
That's actually true. I mean, I really do get caught with the way she talks. And I haven't thought about it. I thought it was her accent or.
Well,
you know,
whatever
it's
you
kind
want.
Of so
yeah,
strong
yeah.
Or
it's very mellifluous.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Thank you, camera lady.
You're welcome.
I think it stopped snowing out.
I
think
I did.
Did you drive?
I had something.
Did you drive here or?
No, I took the bus and walked.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's snowing? Still
yeah,
snowing?
Still,
right?
Yeah, not a lot.
Oh, okay.
Are you good at electronics?
Depends.
This is a digital recorder, and it's supposed to be pretty easy to set up. If we could set it up before class.
Thank you, young lady. I appreciate it.
Okay. I'm not great, but I can try it. Okay.
Thanks.
Give me the whole shebang. Something. Can I call you on Friday between 3 and 5? We could set up doing a session. Does that work? Or when?
Because we'll probably be, I guess we'll be working, pulling the packets together with Peggy. We'll probably be here.
Okay, so what time? Because from your email, it was like this time's number. This, so
no,
what?
I just said today because I wanted to write.
Well, no, you said tomorrow too.
I did? Oh. I didn't remember that.
Are you saying before 4? Or as you said, by 4 I'm doing the thing, something with Peggy.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely want to do it. Because I'd have to kick her out or go someplace else. So I
know yeah, that's.
That doesn't make sense.
So. And Friday, you can't do anything on Friday? Or?
No, you said Friday, you said from 3 to something on Friday, right?
Right.
Because I thought we'd do the, if your packets are done, you said they'd be due noon on Friday, then we'd be copying them and filling them.
I see, okay.
Is anything possible like earlier in the morning or something or no?
When? Friday?
Or tomorrow or? Oh, what about tomorrow? Is anything possible? No, thank you.
The only thing possible to. I mean, I could give it a shot. I doubt it. I'll tell you what, if I can do it by 2:30, would that work?
I'll just make it happen. I'll have to.
Yeah, but I don't want
arrived. I'm meeting her here at 4.
Oh, okay. So that's, so then if, okay, I can't promise you 2:30.
Yeah, okay.
If I can't do 2:30, we'll do it by 1 o'clock Friday. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe that's better. That'll probably happen that way.
And if I have to, you know, if Peggy is, anyway, I'll go figure it out. Because it'll have to, she can go with the copies and I can do the session. We can figure something out. We'll work it out.
What kind of tea?
It's,
what time is it? 8:02?